This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Sorry to steal Kev's line right off the bat there, but I always forget to mention the fact that we have UK listeners now, and I'm so excited, and I'm thinking there might even be some more listeners further even off to the east, and so I want to say good evening to them too. I don't know. I don't get the whole time zone thing. It kind of confuses me. I keep thinking if it's 10 o'clock in the morning here, that means for Kevin, it's what, like October? Is that how that, well, I don't understand it. Anyway, happy to be here. Happy to have you guys along for the ride this morning. It is Wednesday. My name's JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for alternative news and information, Truth Frequency Radio. We are at truthfrequencyradio.com right now in the chat room. Kev Baker's already joined us this morning. I don't even know what else to say about that. It's so nice to have the support of other hosts. What an amazing show Kevin put on yesterday. I have to admit, I did miss Marty, but they more than made up for it with Nano Girl's presence. And that was like a full hour of just mind-blowing wow yesterday. If you guys missed that show with Kevin Nano Girl, holy cow, what a fantastic show that was. Kudos to you guys. Go back, get the download, and check that show out. Always doing such great work over there on the KBS. Really happy to be part of this team here at TFR. Today, of course, is Wednesday, the 15th day of April. Yes, it is tax day here in the United States. This is the day that we all collectively pay our homage to our overlords at the Federal Reserve and pledge, you know, a third of our labor, our time, talent, and energy, which of course already belongs to them anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But today is that day, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, you wake up and it's tax day. That's pretty much the low watermark for the day. So it can only improve from here, and I'm really glad to be a part of that improvement process. We're going to start the long road back up out of tax day misery, and we're going to have a really good show today. Appreciate you guys being here. We've got a lot of news to go over. Not a lot from around the globe. It's kind of a quiet scene right now, to be honest, but a lot of stuff going on here in the States. We do have some science stuff, and we got some important health news today, too. And on the health topic specifically, we've got a fantastic guest on the show. One of the things I love here at Truth Frequency is the fact that it's just exploding with amazing guests all the time and amazing hosts. The network is absolutely blowing up. And Mr. Jim Ram, I don't know if you guys have noticed, there's a live show that goes on Thursday mornings right now before my show. And it is the one and only Mr. Jim Ram. Very, very interesting background. He's a supplemental expert. He does work with longevity. And I want to talk about longevity today. I want to talk about supplementation and nutrition and health. And I also want to give people an opportunity to get involved with the home business if that's something you guys are looking forward to. So definitely looking forward to speaking with Mr. Jim Ram today. Very, very, very entertaining and intelligent guy, that guy. So definitely stick around for the second hour today for that. Tomorrow, Deborah Tavares is going to be joining us, and we're going to get into serious mode with her. We'll be talking about the MK Ultralization. I don't think that's a word. The MK Ultra plan, and as it's unfolding through the school systems, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about biomedical implants and the reality of those and the reality of gang stalking, which is a topic we haven't really touched on much here at the Red Pill Report. So I'm definitely looking forward to that tomorrow. Deborah Tavares, obviously one of the greatest people on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, very well documented, very highly researched. Very, very, very interesting stuff always with Deborah Tavares. So definitely stick around for that. And then on Friday, Savon Bowman III is going to be joining us. I would just highly recommend people check out his website before Friday's show. It is at astralquest.com. Man, I'll tell you what, Friday's show, I'm not going to go further than that. I want you guys to check out the website at Astral Crest because it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing, amazing stuff. So that's pretty much it for my morning ramble. appreciate you guys all being here in the chat room. Very full crowd today and lots of familiar faces. Really like having you guys along for the ride. So if you have questions or comments about the news today, that is a great place to put them. If you're listening live right now, hop into the chat room. There's great listeners from around the world in there, and at the one and only Kev Baker showing up for the afternoon in the UK. Really, really stoked to be part of it all. Okay. Speaking of stoked to be part of it all, I just want to say, just on the tax day note, I do have my Go Team flag flying extra super high today. I'm really excited to be part of this whole program, and I hope that you guys are out there excited as well. Okay, let's move on to the international news here right now. As I said, there's not a whole lot going on. The Houthi situation in Yemen hasn't really gotten any worse, but it really hasn't gotten any better. And yesterday, the UN Security Council actually imposed an arms embargo against the Houthi rebels in Yemen and also blacklisted the son of Yemen's former president and a Houthi leader. So 14 members of the Security Council voted in favor of this resolution. Russia was the only abstention. The Russian representative explained the move by saying that not all of Moscow's proposals had been included in the final text drafted by Jordan and the other Gulf Arab nations. The resolution also blacklisted the Houthi leader Abdel Malek al-Houthi, as well as the son of Yemen's former president, Ali Abdullah Saleh. And the Jordanian draft resolution was being debated alongside a separate Russian draft, which called for a humanitarian pause to airstrikes led by the Saudi military coalition. And an all-inclusive arms embargo on all parties in the Yemeni conflict was also suggested earlier by Russia as an amendment, but that was rejected. So again, Russia hoping for an all-inclusive arms embargo, not just on the side of the Houthi rebels, but actually everybody, maybe taking a humanitarian pause since we're dropping bombs on civilians and things like that. But no, those things were rejected. So Saudi Arabia and its Sunni Arab allies have been bombing the Houthi rebels since March 25th, and more than 1,000 people have since been killed in this conflict. Al-Houthi and the ex-president's eldest son, Ahmed al-Abdullah Saleh, will face an asset freeze and also a travel ban in accordance with these sanctions. So last November, UNSC imposed similar sanctions on the former president Saleh and the rebel group's military commander, Abdel al-Kili al-Houthi, and the Houthi second-in-command, very similar names, so I'm not going to repeat it. Anyway, following this arms embargo by the Security Council yesterday, the U.S. Treasury Department also announced unilateral sanctions against the Yemeni rebel leader al-Houthi and the former head of the Republic Guard, Ahmed Saleh. So, again, we're basically ramping up the stonewalling of Yemen right now, building more and more borders around them, this time financially with sanctions. So that's what's going on. Again, the UN Security Council imposing an arms embargo now on the rebels themselves, kind of to the chagrin of Russia. Also, news coming out of Al-Qaeda in Yemen. The Al-Qaeda in the Arabic Peninsula, or AQAP, has confirmed that Ibrahim al-Rubayash, who is a top ideological leader and mufti — a mufti is an interpreter of Islamic law — he was killed in a U.S. airstrike in Yemen, a drone strike led by the U.S. here in Yemen. So the Saudi-born cleric was held in Guantanamo, but then escaped after repatriation to Saudi Arabia back in 2006, and he was killed in a crusade raid with several other militants, according to the AQAP statement. The U.S. had offered $5 million for information about his whereabouts, and they go basically on to say that, yeah, they killed that guy. So there's one for the team. Good job. Go team. All right. The Royal Air Force had to launch some Typhoons to intercept two Russian aircraft near UK airspace, according to the Ministry of Defense in a report that was issued yesterday. The incident came as Britain hosts a NATO exercise in northern Scotland involving more than 50 warships. And the MOD said the Typhoons from the Royal Air Force base were deployed after Russian aircraft were flying too close to UK airspace, And the Russian planes later turned back, flying past Norway. Good question. Somebody popped into the chat room and is asking about the last story that we just talked about, escaping from Gitmo. I don't understand that. The way they wrote that sentence did make it seem like the guy who was just killed by the drone strike in Yemen did, in fact, escape from Guantanamo, but that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think anybody escaped. Probably what happened is that we let him go on condition that he would report and that we would keep some kind of eye on him, right? And he probably escaped that specific security measure, and that's why he ended up, you know, getting the it seems weird that we would let somebody go from Gitmo and then immediately put a $5 million price on their head, right? So someplace in there, we were probably supposed to be keeping an eye on him and dropped the ball. Who is, okay, I gotta keep reading the news here, guys. I'm getting distracted by the chat room here. All right. Okay. So anyway, Royal Air Force, did in fact scramble some jets. This is kind of the second time this week that, somebody has had to scramble some jets against Russia, even though it seems like it's par for the course because they're basically just flying around in international airspace. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really not doing anything wrong, but they want to keep the rhetoric up between us and Russia. So I think that's kind of what's going on there. We got some news out of China this morning too. China is set to establish a national population database linking ID information and credit cards, according to state media reports late last night. And this is part of a larger push to beef up surveillance and security in response to violent unrest. So China has already taken a series of measures to prevent attacks by extremists, including plans for an anti-terrorism law that would give the government broader surveillance powers and offering to pay for tips without violent plots or about violent plots. The latest step also includes assigning more security forces to public transport, including buses, trains, and subways, as well as schools, financial institutions, and hospitals. And the official news agency of China reported this, also citing a statement issued by the ruling Communist Party Central Committee, as I said, just yesterday. And in addition to all of that, China will require identification when registering at hotels for trade of secondhand goods. So we talked quite a bit about that yesterday with Doreen Hannes happening here in the United States. Obviously sounded pretty draconian at the time, but now here we see it being implemented just really off the cuff here in China. Also, you'll have to register when doing... It looks like it says motor refitting, and I'm not sure exactly what that means, but also for recreational services, and they didn't actually specify what type of recreation they're talking about. But all in all, the measures are supposed to help prevent violence, terrorist attacks, or extreme events, according to the report. So China was pretty draconian yesterday, and it seems like today they're going to become more draconian even now. I agree. Chat room. You guys are so smart in the chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys aren't in the chat room, you're missing like half the show because, Red Linky, one of our, regulars in there is pointing out again, getting back to the story about the guy who left Guantanamo and was killed in the drone strike. He says, yeah, it's a fox hunt. You let him go and you chase him down, which is exactly what the intelligence operatives do. That's the whole name of the game for intelligence. It's not about stopping crime or doing anything like that. It's just about seeing who people are paying off, who their connections are, how things are going to evolve, because that's how you gather intelligence. The FBI is supposed to be the ones investigating or actually arresting people here in the United States. But anyway, that's a good point, Red. So basically they let that guy go and then they lost track of him. Which is crazy, really, if you think about it, because we're supposed to be the most, you know, technologically advanced surveillance, state in the world at this point. And the fact that this guy could go and lose us in Yemen is just, makes you wonder just how tight, the reins are on some of the guys that we've got out in the world right now. Anyway, U.S. Department of Defense Pentagon announced on Tuesday that the ISIS organization has lost between 25 and 30% of the land in Iraq since August and since the beginning of the U.S.-led international coalition's aerial attacks. So again, ISIS is down between 25 and 30% of their land holdings that they had swept across the country and garnished earlier in the year. So I guess that's kind of good news, especially if you live in Iraq. Obviously, this battle for Mosul is still going on, and I think the battle in Ramadi area is still happening right now as well. So if we get any more information about that, I'll certainly bring you guys some news. I've got one good story coming out of El Salvador right now. After outperforming Monsanto's biotech seeds this year with record crop yields, El Salvador has now managed to defeat Monsanto by preventing the company from supplying El Salvador with its poisonous seeds. So this is another country in South America that have stepped up against GMO, understand the dangers of them, and has actually kicked Monsanto out of the country. A lot of people probably don't understand just how close the governments and Monsanto, specifically talking about the governments in Central and South America here, are with Monsanto because these people are poor and they get subsidized, right, through the government for their seeds every year. And the governments in a lot of countries have teamed up with Monsanto to ensure the fact that those governments are going to be subsidizing using Monsanto seeds. And El Salvador basically put a stop to that, grew real food this year and had record crop yields. So they basically went back to the government and said, we're happy to take your subsidies, but we're not going to take GMO seeds anymore. So that's a pretty large win. Speaking of wins, I thought this story was interesting and it's probably not really that important, but it's worth noting that Vladimir Putin did end up in the Time 100 readers poll. So the top 100, you know, most influential and visionary people in the world or whatever. Time magazine rates them every year, and Vladimir Putin was the only world leader to rank in the top 10. He shoved aside very prominent people like Lady Gaga and Rihanna and Taylor Swift, and the only other non-celebrities who appear in the top 10 were the Dalai Lama, the Pakistani female activist Malala Yousafzai, and Pope Francis. So he's in pretty good company up there. Barack Obama did not make it into the top 10, and the first lady did not even really make a notable splash. 1.2% of the vote winning to Michelle Obama. Okay, let's start with something silly for just a second, because I want to start here. Let's get a chuckle in. It is tax day right now. And of course, if you guys are doing, you know, the typical white-collar office environment, today is day three of the crisis hostage situation. I understand that, but you're also probably fairly familiar with the quote unquote office memo, right? You know, those banal, documents that are the linchpin of your boss's micromanaging strategy, right? Well, they're typically passed around or sent by company email to update everyone on new corporate policies or to remind everyone the proper break room etiquette. But this week, if you work for the Justice Department, you can expect your internal memos to have a little bit more flair to them. This was proven recently when Eric Holder actually sent a reminder to his employees asking them to please, pretty please, with sugar on top, stop soliciting prostitutes. That's right. So in a letter released to all department staff on Friday last week, Eric Holder wrote that he wanted to reiterate that to all departmental personnel, including attorneys and law enforcement officers, that they are prohibited from soliciting, procuring, or accepting commercial sex. Holder wrote that despite prostitution being legal in parts of Nevada and abroad, departmental policies are expected to refrain, not simply because it invites extortion, blackmail, and leaks of sensitive or classified information, but also because it undermines the department's efforts to eradicate the scourge of human trafficking. So I don't know when the government agency is supposedly dedicated to law enforcement had to tell their employees to stop having sex with prostitutes, but apparently that's what's going on at the Justice Department right now. I can't also help but notice that if you are an average citizen and you were caught paying for sex, you probably won't receive a friendly reminder or a brief suspension from their job. But anyway, I will digress away from that. But of course, if you do work for, what's interesting about this story is, again, that broke on Friday. I didn't get to see it really until yesterday. And the DEA has already come out and said that they're not going to abide by that. You know why? Because the DEA has to blend in with the people that they're working with in Colombia. And blending in means prostitutes, apparently. So if you're working for the DEA, man, I'll tell you what, it sounds like a good job if you can get it. Okay, moving on. Let's get into New York here for just a second. Rikers Prison. I did not know about this place in New York, but apparently it sets up its largest prison in New York State. It can hold as many as 15,000 inmates, and more than 400 people in the prison right now have spent 2 years in Rikers without ever being convicted of a crime. And this is a problem that New York's mayor plans to address this year by shrinking the population by 25%. This is according to the New York Times. So Mayor Bill de Blasio is set to announce a plan to reduce the inmate population at Rikers by clearing the backlog of cases at state courts. According to city data, as of March, more than 400 people have been held at Rikers without ever having been convicted of a crime. And some half a dozen people have been there more than 6 years. Can you imagine not even being convicted of a crime? Just absolutely crazy. So anyway, under de Blasio's proposal, all the cases where the defendants have been held for more than a year, which again comes out to more than 1,500 people, they will all be put on a court calendar within 45 days. And officials think plea deals, convictions, and exonerations can resolve half of these cases within 6 months. And additionally, the city is introducing an online tracking tool to monitor cases and prevent backlogs. But this basically all comes down to the fact that there are a lot of missed court appointments, lots of witness no-shows, and several scheduling conflicts between the overworked and underpaid prosecutors and defense lawyers. That was a quote from Mr. de Blasio. But again, because of that, up to, you know, what'd they say, half a dozen people have been in there for more than 6 years without ever being convicted of a crime? Holy due process, anyone? My goodness, just unbelievable. Also in New York, protesters gathered yesterday and around the United States as well to rally against police brutality, and a rash of officers killing unarmed black men. Organizers spread the message on social media using the hashtag #ShutDownA14. And several arrests were made yesterday in New York after protesters shut down the Brooklyn Bridge. The protests were apparently occurring in more than 30 cities in 18 different states. And Tuesday's nationwide event was scheduled by Stop Mass Incarceration Network. So you guys should probably be supporting them. I do support that. I can't imagine. This whole police killing thing, I don't want to keep getting back onto that tangent because it is a major problem. But, man, I'll tell you what. I will tell you what. Okay. Sorry. Checking out the chat room here real quick, guys. Also, in speaking of protests and rallies and things like that, America's low-paid workers are scheduled to continue their fight for higher pay Wednesday, which is today, with protests and rallies and one-day walkouts scheduled in more than 200 cities. These actions are expected to attract thousands of participants in what organizers are calling the most widespread mobilization ever by U.S. workers seeking higher pay. So these are, again, fast food cooks and cashiers, thinking about places like McDonald's and Hardee's and whatnot. 230 cities scheduled today to strike, including New York, L.A., Detroit, St. Louis, Kansas City, Missouri, and Rolla, North Carolina. So, you know, I read something the other day from a lady who posted on Facebook. She works full-time for McDonald's, and she lives in Denmark. She makes $21.95 an hour. She has two guaranteed full days off a week. She also gets a week's paid vacation, and she has paid sick days. And I don't know what the tax structure is like in Denmark, granted, but that seems to make a lot more sense to me. I'm just putting that out there. If we're going to take people's time, talent, and energy and then use that to float a fiat currency, maybe we shouldn't allow the people who are stealing your labor to tell you what your labor is worth in their fake money. Because that to me seems like just a total cyclical cycle of nonsense, doesn't it? I mean, why aren't we paying these people $100 an hour? The other thing too is if you understand the disparity between the CEOs and the people who work for them, most Americans when they're polled say about 7 to 1. That's fair. Like if I make $10 an hour and you're the CEO of my company and you're making, you know, 70 bucks an hour, awesome. But that's not the case in America anymore. Now it's more than 300%, which means if you're making $10 an hour, your boss is making $3,000 an hour. Is there really that much more stress at that level that they need to be making that much more money? That seems a little bit crazy. And I do have a fantastic economic story kind of in that vein when we get to that side of the news. So let me get off my soapbox here and we'll move on. I got to give a little bit of kudos to Tennessee. On Monday, a bill that would legalize the use of low THC cannabis oil in the treatment of severe seizure disorders and epilepsy passed unanimously through both chambers of the Tennessee General Assembly, so that a significant number of Tennessee families with children suffering from seizure disorders have begun to leave the state for Colorado over the past few years in an effort to obtain treatment with cannabis oil. And though it's not known yet whether or not Governor Haslam intends to sign this bill, he supported last year's proposal for a study on the use of cannabis oil for seizure disorders, and a spokesman from his administration said that he would defer to the will of the legislature on the issue. So again, it passed unanimously through the legislature early this week. Fantastic news. This bill is going to require those seeking treatment to obtain a legal order of recommendation in order to use cannabis oil, and does fall short of creating a legal marketplace in Tennessee. So Tennesseans would consequently be required to obtain cannabis oil from states that do have a legal marketplace, such as Colorado. But here we see another example of many of the states surrounding my own state marching into the future while my state seems to languish in 1984. And I say 1984 all the time, but that's a little bit harsh. It's really about 1996. Even if you go to like Mizzou, the big college town, Columbia, it's flipping 1996 here. We're like 20 years behind. I don't understand what's going on. Okay, let's move on here. Two Louisiana law enforcement officers have been arrested on charges of racketeering for accepting to bribe they accepted a bribe of over $100,000 and unlawfully arrested an innocent man after planting drugs on his car. And the man accused of paying the bribe is Mark Knight, who is CEO of a major oil and gas company called Knight Oil Tools. He and his former employee, Russell Manuel, have been notified of the warrants for their arrest. And allegedly, Mark Knight paid State Trooper Corey Jackson and Sheriff's Deputy Jason Kinch in exchange for planting containers filled with cocaine and prescription drugs underneath his brother's car, Brian Knight, who is the company's co-owner. And the law enforcement officers subsequently arrested him in June of 2014. But in March of 2015, investigators established that the magnetic cases recovered from the undercarriage of Brian Knight's vehicle were purchased by Knight Oil Tools at the request of Russell Manuel, an employee who answered directly to the CEO, Mark Knight. So statements from Russell Manuel also confirmed that Mark Knight paid or arranged payment in excess of $100,000 in cash and gifts for himself and two other officers, according to a state press release from the Louisiana State Police. And Mark Knight is now wanted on racketeering charges, while Russell Manuel is wanted for possession of cocaine, possession of Lortab, possession of methadone, extortion, intimidation, and charges of criminal conspiracy. The mayor, Major Art LeBreton, who is the chief deputy at the sheriff's department, said Mark Knight had also been made aware that there was a warrant for his arrest, but he has not yet been arrested as of right now. He did step down from his position as CEO and president of Knight Oil Tools in January, but he does currently remain chairman of the board and director of the company. So, good times. Law enforcement officers just working for your benefit out there, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of working for your benefit, did you guys see this dash cam video that was released out of Arizona showing this Arizona trooper running this guy over with his car? I'm not even kidding. I don't have words for this. So police in Arizona said Tuesday that an officer who intentionally used his car last month to run into a suspect who was carrying a rifle probably saved the man's life. I don't really agree with that. And the man's lawyer also strongly disagrees with that. The video of the incident has stirred quite a debate about what type of force police should be able to use when detaining a man with a gun. So essentially, this video starts out with one cop following the suspect down the street. The suspect and the police officer are at a good distance. And then another police officer zooms from around the police officer that's trailing. And I'm talking hits this guy square on with his car like 40 miles an hour and then slams into a concrete embankment, wrecks the car. Good quality police work, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm talking about. Public safety at its finest. We got to go to this quick 3-minute break. We're going to be back in just a second. Appreciate you guys all being here. We'll be right back. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Saturdays and Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with me through that 3-minute break. And thank you guys for being here with me this morning. It's very nice to have you guys along for the ride. Full chat room right now and a lot of good questions and comments going on in there. I just threw up the link to the video of this dash cam footage into the chat room. It's a CNN article. Hopefully you guys saw that. You guys have to see it because to me, this is just absolutely crazy. But just to describe the incident, it was recorded on February 19th on the dash cam of two different Marana police cars that were following the suspect. His name was Mario Valencia, and he's a 36-year-old. And in one video, the officer who's tailing Valencia at slow speeds reports over the radio that the suspect had fired one round into the air with a rifle that he's accused of stealing that morning from Walmart. And at that very moment, another patrol car zooms past the guy and runs into the man from behind and then hits a short cinder block next to a driveway. And the officer, the video from Officer Michael Rapiecchio's camera, which is the guy who actually hit him, shows the officer running over the man and the windshield smashing on the car as he hits the wall. Absolutely crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I can't imagine that this is the way they chose to de-escalate the situation. The man's lawyer is also mirroring or parroting my concern on this one. The guy was obviously suicidal, probably in some sort of emotional crisis, and the best way that the police officers felt that they could handle the situation was to literally speed up and try and run this guy over with his car. And if you watch the video, it is a miracle that this guy is alive. When you see the video, even the other officer, the guy who's, you can see the two different dash cams, from inside the cam that hits the officer, or that hits the suspect, and then from the officer who has been trailing the suspect. And even the officer who was trailing was just like, holy crap, man, what are you doing? Like, this is insane. What did you just do? You just totally destroyed your car and probably killed that guy. And that's, you know, I understand that you've got to maybe make a move here and take some guy down, but isn't there a sniper around? Can't you hit this guy with a beanbag or something? I don't know. Okay, let's talk a little bit too about some things that are going on in Iowa right now. Man, I'll tell you what, there are so many strange things going on around the country right now. I don't have an article in front of me regarding this, but, one of our favorite guys on YouTube, Dabu7, he put a pretty amazing video up that came out of Cleveland, Ohio the other day, where some guy had called in. Sounds very, very made up to me, but he called in to some 911 or whatever and said he was on a Greyhound bus traveling to Cleveland, Ohio, and behind him were other people in a terrorist cell, and that they had created a bomb and that they were going to take it to Washington, D.C. The date May 1st comes up a lot. But the video that came out was the stop of this Greyhound bus on the highway. And these guys looked serious. I mean, we're talking about bomb suits and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know what happened with that event. I thought it was interesting that the date May 1st came up. And we do have a lot of drills going on across the country right now. We had the dirty bomb drill that just took place over in California. We're getting ready to talk about another drill that's going on over this week in Iowa. And I got to stop for just a second, too, because Obsidian, one of our very favorite people in the chat room, she emailed me yesterday and asked me a pretty good question about this whole Jade Helm thing. And I didn't know specifically about the answer. She had asked about the correlation between the census people going out and doing some selective census taking over the last year, year and a half, and if that was more prevalent in these areas that are part of this Jade Helm thing. And I didn't know. I still don't know the answer, so I'm kind of asking you guys out there. The more I think about it, the more I think there probably was a correlation there. Of course, I never ran into a Census Bureau person. I think they might know who I am and maybe would understand that probably wouldn't be a conversation that would go the way they wanted it to. But that's interesting that again, we've got the best listeners in the world because everybody thinks about this stuff all the time. And if there is a correlation between those selective censuses, that were, you know, census workers that went out and were taking censuses, I don't even know. Sensei? What's the freaking, I don't know what the plural is. You guys know what I mean though. Is there a correlation between those people who went out and did all that audit taking before and is it correlating with this, Jade Helm thing? I don't know. But this week, on top of all that other crazy stuff that's going on right now, you might also notice some extra emergency vehicles and public safety officers running around in tactical gear if you're in Des Moines, Iowa. They're going to be wearing hazmat suits and also bomb suits as part of a statewide drill that Des Moines is hosting starting Tuesday to prepare for emergency personnel for dealing with weapons of mass destruction. So again, in Des Moines, Iowa, currently yesterday and today and possibly continuing for the rest of the week, a large drill simulating a weapon of mass destruction. So more than 100 emergency response personnel from around the state will be participating, including bomb technicians, law enforcement, and Iowa Homeland Security. And Tuesday morning, officials met at Wells Fargo Arena, and they reviewed proper procedures for dealing with potential weapons of mass destruction. And after that review, they got into teams, and they went through various stations assessing different hypothetical situations and practicing with different detection equipment. So because most of the teams already know how to handle the weapons of mass destruction on their own, the officials came out and said that this was more about working together with local, regional, and state agencies, and that's the most important aspect of this particular exercise. So again, you know, we like to point out anytime there's a big drill going on, because you never know when a drill is going to go live, similar to that event that took place in London. I think it was 7-7. That was, remember, they were doing a drill that day, and then all of a sudden they found themselves in a real live situation that exactly verbatim mirrored the drill that they had already established. Just absolutely crazy. Also crazy, that gentleman in Oregon, Mr. Harrison, we've talked about him in the past. He was the gentleman who built those three fairly large ponds on his 170 acres there out in Oregon, rural Oregon. He's going to be going to jail, ladies and gentlemen, because, again, he is not allowed to have these reservoir ponds on his water, because if you live in Oregon, all of the water belongs to the state, and he did not ask the state. He actually did not build one of the reservoirs. One of them was there when he got there, but he built two more. And now he's been fighting back against the government for a very long time. He's been fined, I think, more than $1,500 at this time, and he's scheduled to be serving about 30 days in jail if his appeals are unsuccessful. So, again, just more draconian nonsense going on. We also have to talk about this story. There is another Bundy Ranch-style situation that is getting ready to be gearing up here, or is already kind of gearing up. For the last several years, the miners from the Gallus Mining District, which is about 30 minutes west of Grants Pass, Oregon, they have been arguing over who has the rights to the minerals in the ground around Gallus Creek. And the Gallus Mining District is compiled of a number of claims, owners, and miners, and has been in continuous operation since 1870. Which makes it one of the longest running operations in the United States. This specific operation obviously predates the Bureau of Land Management bureaucracy by many, 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 many decades. So the area in question has produced an excess of 10 million ounces of gold since its conception. And geologists estimate that only about 10% of the gold in the ground has actually been removed, which makes this area highly sought after by just about any standard. And it's also said even today that children find gold with their hands in the creek. So the Bureau of Land Management has made several attempts to disband the operation and the Sugar Pine Mine through multiple unsubstantiated stop orders, and now they have applied a cease and desist order. And the owners of the mine have spent tens of thousands of dollars to date requesting documents, researching the claims of the BLM, and preliminary attorney fees. The Sugar Pine has also made requests to produce the official rulings that show that they are in violation, which have all gone unanswered. And the very simple reason given by the BLM is that they say so. So the BLM claims that the mine has no surface rights in the area and in turn says all of the structures and equipment need to be removed. And the BLM also claims that this violation is grounds for the operation to cease and tunnels to be filled in. The mine predates more recent rulings about surface rights, so the Sugar Pine feels that they are not subject to this new ruling, and it is not applicable to this specific situation. Well, late last week, the Bureau of Land Management officials, accompanied by Josephine County Sheriff, so somebody get on the phone and call Josephine County Sheriff's here, and they did, in fact, issue a cease and desist order to the district without any official ruling by any court anywhere. And specifically, the issue is not even scheduled to be heard in court until later this year. The order has given the mine until the April 25th to remove all of the equipment, buildings, and supplies from the location. Local BLM officials have also threatened to burn down the buildings if they are not removed by that date. So the owners of the Sugar Pine have stated they will not comply. They will fully disobey the order, as they claim that the order itself is illegal and invalid. A call for assistance to the Oath Keepers has been made. Hopefully we can get Stuart Rhodes on the show here sometime soon to talk about this very issue. And they also say there is no intention to leave the area by the deadline. So this issue actually has some pretty far-reaching implications. The outcome from this and the court ruling to come will affect all of America, and the issue at hand is not just about the Gallus miners and the gold in the ground, but more about what the government says you can do with the ground in your control. And these miners have the rights to the minerals in the ground, and the government wants that changed. So what comes next could affect every single American. What if your backyard has a specific mineral that the government values? By any means, can they then come in and tell you that you are not allowed to grow your broccoli on your land because it absorbs this quote-unquote special mineral? The bigger picture would affect farmers. What if gold, oil, or something like uranium was found under a farmer's crop? Does the government have the right then to those minerals? And also, does it have the ability to override your use of your own land? So again, this issue is going to have the ability to dictate the future use of our public and private lands. Hopefully Stuart Rhodes is going to respond to the call here, and they can get some people out there. I can't imagine what in the heck could possibly be wrong with that specific Josephine County sheriff out there. I would definitely be on the horn with that guy if I was one of his local constituents. Okay, let's move on to some financial news right now. Let's see. The Dow currently up not too much, about 40 points. So we're at 18,078 on the Dow. The S&P just a touch under 2,100. We're at 2,096. The dollar index is again on the rise today after a brief reprieve yesterday. So we are at $99.08 on that. And usually when that goes up, yep, euro goes down, which is exactly what's happening. We are at 106.14 on the euro. Baltic Dry is still pegged at 583. Both myself and Truth are having a difficult time trying to figure out what exactly is going on with the Baltic feed. Gold is up a little bit today, but it has fallen as of yesterday, so we're still trying to climb our way back to that $1,200 mark. We're at $11.97 right now, and silver is sitting at $16.23. And a barrel of oil up quite a bit today, actually, $55.69. Not really sure why oil would be going up. Probably the threat of war in Yemen, if I had to take a wild guess. And Bitcoin taking a little bit more of a dive today. We're at 219 for a bright, shiny Bitcoin, which you really can't own. Anyway, Tsipras, the new prime minister of Greece, came out yesterday and he said Greece is not, I repeat, is not planning a debt default. This is contrary to all the reports in the Financial Times. We've been going over all of this stuff for a little bit here. Hang on, I got to catch up with something in the chat room. Truth be told, coming through on the BDI at 586, up by 5 points today. And Obsidian asking me if I had gotten some sort of, whoa, okay, I got to read this. A rep is around residents in for money. They did not know. I can't read all that, guys. It's going to slow me way down here. Anyway, Greece, again, this is according to Mr. Tsipras, the new prime minister there in Greece. He says it is not preparing for any debt default, and the same goes for its lenders. Negotiations are proceeding swiftly towards a mutually beneficial solution. He said this again in a statement yesterday, according to Reuters. So Greece is scheduled to make several payments to the IMF. How in the world they're going to do this, I have no idea. On the 1st of May, They owe 203 million euros, another 770 million on the 12th of May, and about another 1.6 billion. That's billion with a B, as in, boy, those are a lot of euros. That's going to be due in June, and those have to be paid in the special drawing rights, which is an artificial currency created by the IMF that the institution uses to loan out money when it can't actually loan out money. So anyway, on Monday, the Financial Times reported that Greece was ready to default if it had not reached a debt deal with creditors by the end of April, citing an unnamed government official, and the official said it would not be able to pay the May and June payments to the International Monetary Fund. So what in the world is going on in Greece right now? I don't know. I have no idea. We'll have to see what happens. They've got basically until the end of April to come to some kind of agreement here with the Troika. They got a lot of money kind of hanging in the balance right now. And again, of course, we have Russia waiting in the wings to see exactly what is going on with Greece right now. This was an interesting story that broke late last night. You have to pay attention to the stuff that's going on behind the scenes here in the financial industry, ladies and gentlemen. And attention, mainstream financial journalists, I'm trying to reach you guys out there. There's something important that you can pretty much schedule yourself to ignore this week. But thank you to the diligent eye of a gold researcher and GATA consultant, Rohan Manley. The rest of us are going to be in the loop. There is a breakfast meeting scheduled this week and Friday in Washington for a select group of central bankers and other official sector institutions. They are sponsoring this meeting by the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum and the World Gold Council. They are scheduled to discuss in this secret meeting gold, the renminbi, and the multi-currency system. They are convened in conjunction with the spring meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank Group, which is a United Nations agency. So these discussions, according to a discreet announcement from OMFIF, says that they are going to be under the Chatham House rules, whereby information may be used but never attributed. So again, while many nations with their central banks purport to be a representative democracy, and while the World Gold Council purports to be the representative of the gold industry, some of whose participants actually get to have their hands get dirty every day, attendance at this Friday's meeting will be by invitation only. So if you don't get an invitation, you can fairly assume that the valuation of all capital labor goods and services in the world is really none of your business. And that is, after all, a central banker's world. The rest of us are lucky that we even get a chance to pass through it from time to time. And though an impertinent among us might wonder why central bankers should need to talk in secret about something supposedly as irrelevant and retrograde as gold. So let your conspiratorial juices flow there. But again, central bankers gathering privately in Washington this Friday to discuss the gold, the renminbi, and the multi-currency system. What do you guys think will be the result of that? I don't know. I'm still thinking we got a major transition ahead of us here, guys, as we move to partial asset-backed currencies. And I don't know how that's going to affect us here in the United States, but I'm really hopeful that the Fed is not going to be involved, because if we can lose the Fed, hopefully we can also lose the IRS. So again, good stuff going on there. Wow, full chat room right now. 21 in the chat room. Holy cow. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this morning. This is cool stuff. Okay. Do we want to get to say we got 9 minutes left? Let's talk about this really quick. Reuters reported yesterday that oil investors who have amassed a total of $6 billion in long positions in the exchange traded funds, or ETFs, occupying as much as a third of the U.S. futures market, are now racing for the exit at near record pace. The outflows from four of the largest oil-specific exchange traded funds, including the largest oil fund in the U.S., USO, reached $338 million in 2 weeks in April, as of April 8th. So this two-week outflow, which is the largest since September and also the largest since early of 2014, is marking a turnaround from the heavy inflows in December and January on bets that oil prices would quickly rebound from six-year lows. So what are we talking about right now? We're talking about a majority of investment that is in these specific oil traded EFT funds, right? ETF funds, excuse me. And right now, these are some pretty big banks who are saying, whoa, fundamentals are way out of whack here. We've already said, Goldman Sachs has already come out and said the oil prices are not going to rise again. So the main banks are pulling their money out of these EFTs, guys, or the ETFs, I'm sorry, pulling their money out of the ETFs, but the ETFs still seem to be gaining money, which is being touted by the Goldman Sachs as being indicative that normal people are still putting their money into the oil markets. And they actually go on to say some pretty negative things about, quote unquote, the everyday guy, saying that the everyday guy really doesn't understand fundamentals right now, because there's no way that oil is going to continue to go up in value, and those ETFs are going to, in fact, go down in value. So all the big major holders of those, you know, the hedge funds, mortgage managers or managers, hedge managers, things like that, they're yanking their money out at record pace right now. So again, we're going to start seeing that affect people's 401ks. I'm still waiting for the first quarter reports from all of that to come out. Also, in retail sales did rise 0.9% in March, but they did miss their expectations of a 1.1% rise. This is following the 0.5% drop in February, which was revised, and this whole thing indicates the worst streak of missed expectations in retail sales since 2008-2009. So again, the retail market, not very good. Again, the worst March year-over-year growth in retail sales since 2009 going on right now. People don't have disposable income, guys. That's what it comes down to. And I'll tell you what, that is reflected in the BDI. That's reflected in the fact that China has drawn back significantly on their estimates for growth, and they also reported I think it was, what, a 15% drop in exports just in the first quarter of this year. That's because we're not buying their stuff, guys. That's what happens when the global economy starts to dry up, and that's what we're seeing right now. A lot of indicators that bad things are coming down the pipe. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I would highly recommend, if you're not part of the Karapars thing yet, man, get involved. And if you don't do it that way, call our buddy over at U.S. Gold Coins, Andrew Gauds. You know, he's not a sponsor. I get nothing, absolutely nothing, other than the enjoyment of speaking to him and trying to tell you guys exactly what's going on. But he will help you buy low numismatic value, but coins that are still good and precious metal. He'll find that balance for you and what you're comfortable with paying, and he will get you into some gold. You can buy half ounces, things like that, in face coins. Really, really good guy. And also, he can get you guys on the tip in terms of buying what I would call junk silver, but the old face silver, the mercury dimes and things like that. All of that kind of stuff, you know, preservation of value right now is the name of the game. So I would highly recommend, if you haven't gotten into Karapars, check out the link at the top of redpillreports.com, because now is the time. Oil, or the gold index is super high, the euro is low, and gold is pretty reasonable right now. So to me, that makes a lot of sense. Speaking of making a lot of sense, I got to tell you about this guy, Dan Price. This is the founder of Gravity Payments, which is an organization that I believe is in Washington State, right? He owns this company called Gravity Payments, and he recently read an article on happiness, and it talked about the fact that people who earn less than $70,000 a year have a lot of trouble making ends meet. Even making $40,000 or $50,000 a year can make it very difficult to plan ahead for your future, buying a house, preparing for kids, doing all that kind of stuff. Anybody who's making $30,000 or less, man, I mean, we're all day to day at this point. So anyway, he started getting this idea in his head about this $70,000 mark. And so on Monday afternoon, he actually surprised his 120-person staff by announcing that he planned over the next 3 years to raise the salaries of even the lowest paid clerk, customer service representative, and salesman to a minimum of $70,000. He said, is anybody freaking out right now after the clapping and the whooping died down? Because he said, yeah, I'm kind of freaking out right now. So again, if this is a publicity stunt, it's going to be a costly one, because Mr. Price, who started this Seattle-based credit card payment processing firm back in 2004 at the age of 19, said that he would pay for the wage increase himself by cutting his own salary from nearly $1 million all the way down to $70,000, and then using the 75 to 80% of the company's anticipated $2.2 million in profit this year to cover the rest. So again, the paychecks of about 70 employees will grow, with 30 ultimately doubling their salaries, according to Ryan Perkle, who is a company spokesman. The average salary today at Gravity is $48,000 a year. I love this plan. This is another company who understands that retaining quality people requires taking care of your people and understanding the needs of your people. I worked for a small company when I was a DOD contractor, and we started at $18 an hour. Do you think that people were clamoring to find a better job after that? No way. After a year, we were at $30 an hour. You're working, I mean, granted, you work 90 hours a week and you made a killing, but that's how you retain people. You take care of your people. None of this whole $11 an hour and we'll, you know, give you maybe 2 days a week off of work. You got to take care of your people. And this is another company that's going to do exactly that. And I hope that he gets a lot of success out of this because, again, I guarantee that the inbox on his email account probably got a big boost today. People trying to send him some resumes. I think that's a fantastic thing. And I wish more companies would understand that the disparity between what they pay their CEOs and what they actually pay their employees is disgusting these days. It's not something that we need to be continuing with as far as I know. Also, I want to talk a little bit. We'll move on to some science and tech stuff here real quick. SpaceX was successful yesterday in launching their two-stage Falcon 9 rocket carrying the uncrewed cargo spacecraft called Dragon on a flight from Cape Canaveral, Florida, to the International Space Station. Of course, that was the easy part. The difficult part was to try and land the rocket stage on that floating barge for the first time. And no, they didn't. No, they didn't make it. It didn't happen. So again, there is a video. If you go to redpillreports.com and go into the show section, you'll be able to learn quite a bit about Jim Ram, who's going to be joining us here in about 7 minutes. But you'll also be able to scroll down, see all the news that we aggregate from around the world, most of which I never get to because I ramble too much. But in the space and science tech section, whatever you want to call it, there is this video regarding, or this article regarding the SpaceX launch yesterday. And there is a video of the Falcon 9 coming down and trying to land on the barge. It actually looks almost successful this time, and even Elon Musk said that it was, for the most part, successful. They actually got it to land, but then it was so top-heavy that it ended up falling over after the fact. So again, an unsuccessful bid to land their rocket back on that barge again. Just crazy. So that's the second try. They've gotten a little closer, I guess, this time. They're going to try it again here. I don't know when exactly, but we'll keep you guys up to date when that next go happens. So yeah, not quite successful with the SpaceX, but you gotta like his attitude. He's gonna continue on. What else should we talk about? How about a nanotech toothbrush? What do you think about that? Most people, you think of toothbrush, you think of your teeth, you think of water, you think of your toothbrush and some toothpaste. Well, there's a company from Japan that wants to change all that, and they have developed a nanotechnology toothbrush that basically eliminates the need for toothpaste. The secret is that the brush is coated in nano-sized mineral ions, which move in the water and remove stains and then envelop your teeth with a protective sheet. So when you brush, the minerals pass on from the bristles to the teeth where they stick. They also make your teeth hydrophilic, which ensures that the surface is much smoother. And if you brush properly, meaning not overly hard, the brush will last for about a month. What do you guys think about that? Is that what we needed? A big ginormous leap into the future regarding toothbrushes? I'm surprised it's not smart linked up to my smart TV and reporting to the NSA exactly how often I brush my teeth. But if Obamacare has its way, I have read that they are going to put sensors in your bathrooms to make sure that you're taking your medicine on schedule and things like that. The nanny state continues, and it's moving into toothbrushes, ladies and gentlemen. So, good time. Happy to be part of it all. We're going to go to this 3-minute break. When we come back, Mr. Jim Ram will be joining us, and we're going to talk about health and nutrition and supplementation and how to become the best version of you that you can possibly be, because I think that's important. We've all got that battle to fight, and that's what we're doing today. So I will see you guys on the flip side of this 3-minute break. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? and ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker, special JFK 50th anniversary signed limited edition. $30 including shipping, limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys in the chat room right now. We have a full house in the chat room. Really appreciate you guys hanging out at truthfrequencyradio.com. And we are approaching our high water mark. We had 22 in there earlier. My main goal in life right now is to get 25 in the chat room, which would be half of what Kev Baker gets in the afternoon. And I would feel pretty darn accomplished if we got that far. So if you've got, you know, 6 other friends out there that are probably going to be interested in what we're talking about today, we're of course going to be talking about health and nutrition and supplementation, as well as the ability for you to start your own business at home. So this is going to be related to a lot of people out there. So I want to make sure we get this this message out. I'm very excited to be bringing Mr. Jim Ram onto the program today. He is an Ohio native, grew up in Ohio, graduated from the University of Ohio. I'm sorry, from Ohio State University. I want to make sure I get that right. Spent a lot of time as a very active youth. So like a lot of people out there, lots of running, lots of baseball, lots of sports. And then he moved into bicycling. He got into bicycling very, very heavy. And that's something I'm getting into currently as well. So I'm going to definitely want to talk to him about that, specifically in the realm of knee health, because that's something I know I'm going to be battling here pretty soon. Jim also spent 16 years as a law enforcement officer and was the first guy that actually started the police biking patrol back in 1994. So very, very cool, very active guy, and very intelligent when it comes to health and nutrition. Very excited to have him on the program. And also as a side note, he's actually doing his own program at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find him every Thursday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Very, very good information. We're very happy to have him both as a host and today as a guest on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Jim, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Hi, JD. It's great to be here, and I want to thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure is all mine, sir. And you know, one of the things that we talk about here at Red Pill Reports is self-empowerment, understanding the fact that, you know, first of all, we spend a lot of time trying to identify the adversaries that are out there, because until you identify exactly the agenda that's going on around you, it's difficult to become an advocate for yourself or anybody else around you. But the most important thing that anybody here can do is make that change in their heart, because then that bleeds into their home, and then that bleeds into our communities. And that to me is the way that we're going to take all of this whole mess over and figure all this stuff out. But in order to do that, Jim, you kind of have to be healthy, don't you?
Oh, without a doubt. I've done it both ways, and healthy is definitely the way to go. Trust me.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about your background because it is so diverse. Obviously, you know, having some background in law enforcement gives you a pretty unique perspective on the day-to-day events that we seem to be reporting here with more and more frequency on the Red Pill Report. So before we kind of get into the health and nutrition, do you want to give us a little more insight into your background and what the law enforcement side of things was like when you were involved?
Yeah, sure. Well, you mentioned how I grew up and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not going to hit that real hard. I was just real active. In 1978, I joined the U.S. Marine Corps in their platoon leaders class program and was in that until 80. And then in 1980, switched over to local law enforcement. And like I mentioned to you yesterday, unfortunately, I was only one of maybe two guys on the whole department that that I knew of that had ever read the entire Constitution.
Wow.
And that's a sad thing because when you swear an oath to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Ohio, those are the first two things that you do. And it seems like they're also the farthest away, so to speak. And the guys on the job tend to follow orders, even when those orders 99% of the time violate both those constitutions. And I, after 16 years, I'd pretty much seen the writing on the wall, the way things were going. And back then, drug interdiction was first coming in, and the stopping people for a random traffic violation and then asking them if you could search their car for drugs and contraband, and just basically I had several officers browbeat people into it. I mean, wow. And I stepped in and said, ladies, if you don't want this man looking through your car, all you have to do is say no.
Right.
And that'll be the end of it. And they said, we don't want him looking through. And I said, have a nice night. And I talked to that guy and said, don't you ever pull that on my crew again. He had traded onto my shift for one night and was one of the local hot dogs as far as drug stuff goes. And I said, you're not going to violate these people's rights when you're working for me. And that's basically the last time he ever transferred into my.
Well, good
but
for you,
I just
though.
Wouldn't stand for that stuff. You know, if you give them full disclosure and tell them what you're doing, and do it the way, you know, number one, that you should do it. Number two, the way the Supreme Court said it, that would be fine. But they do not have to answer and allow that to happen. They have rights. And unfortunately, in this day and age, it's getting to where too many people have just gone along and not enough have stood up and said no, and that's why we're in the position we're in now. You know, you've got ignorant police officers, for lack of a better term. I mean, they grow up in the public fool system that's done an excellent job of dumbing people down. They don't learn anything about our country's the Constitution. And they're just, you know, basically people who recite what they've been programmed with. They're
That's
like
right.
computers. And it's a sad thing when you have people that don't know how to think for themselves and literally question authority. I had an officer on my shift who was going through divorce and some stressful times, and he had moved out of his house, and I allowed him to move in with me. And at one point he was showing. And he realized it, and he gave me all of his firearms, his personally owned ones, and I locked them up so that he had no access to them. The department had taken his department-issued fire, but that wasn't good enough for one of the lieutenants. He gave me an order to bring in all of that officer's personally owned guns, and I said, I need that order in writing.
Right. Wow.
Midnight, and because I work midnight shift, and there was the order. And in the morning, I provided him a very quickly worded written response. Sorry, can't help you.
Right.
And he wrote me up and tried to charge me with insubordination that I'd be terminated. And I filed a grievance, and it went all the way up the line out of the department into the mayor's office. And the mayor sided with me and realized that, you know, he had no right to issue an order like that.
Wow.
Ain't no way. And my guys knew that I would stand with them if they were right, and I wouldn't cover for them if they were wrong. And we got along just fine, and I had several guys who gotten some write the grievances for them to get them off the hook. You know, I took care of my troops, but at the same time, if they knew that I would not stand for them violating the rights of the people that we're supposed to be working for.
Right.
And too many people, too many guys on, and anybody in government offices, whether it's law enforcement or whatever, seem to have gotten things backwards. They think that the people work for them rather than them working for the people. And, that's where, when that transition took over and they just sort of started doing what they want, that's when we started, you know, seeing these problems that are coming about and happen now. And it just breaks my heart to see it happening.
Jim, when you were in the service, I just have to ask this question. Was there a quota? I mean, in terms of drug arrests or in terms of how many traffic citations you guys had to write, or was that something that came into being? That's kind of one of the big internet rumors, is that the police yeah. officers, you know, have a quota system. And I just wonder if that's true or if you've ever seen anything like that.
The department I worked for, which was a small suburban department in the Columbus, Ohio area, we never had you got to write this many tickets.
Okay.
They had what they called performance standards that were a part of it, but you also had reports, follow-ups, at nighttime, on midnight shift, when there's nobody else out there, it's kind of hard to generate tickets. So you have building checks that you do and just all the different they basically wanted to make sure that you weren't going out and sitting somewhere and reading the paper all night.
Right. Right. Well, that's kind of understandable.
Do that.
If you're going to get paid for something. But at the same time,
exactly.
I'm kind of of the opinion that we need to be moving into the voluntary thing. And when I look mm-hmm. at EMTs and firefighters, that's in fact exactly what they do. They hang out and wait for something to actually go down that requires them to respond. And man, I would be nice if we could get a system like that established here, Jim.
Yeah, there's too many people out there that think they actually have to pay for their existence. And there's administrators that want officers to do that. I don't deny that for a second. I've seen it in other departments. I saw where a couple of guys in our department were trying to do that. But it's a very, very touchy situation, because, there is a slight difference between law enforcement and the fire services, basically, because if there's no fires, if there's no people that there's really no need for the police or for the firemen to be out there.
Uh-huh.
But on the same side, a midnight shift, my guys spent all night long making sure that the city was secure. We checked every single business. I did that on my bicycle. I would ride down the strip malls on the sidewalks and physically grab every single door and shake it and make sure that it was secure. Pickup call when one wasn't, because when you pull on that thing and the door opens on a bicycle, you pretty much like fall over.
Right. It'd be surprising for sure.
Yeah. But, that's the kind of stuff that we did. We were out there being proactive and being a presence to keep crime down as opposed to hassling people constantly. And that kind of thing. Use for that. Now I will admit, when I was young, as they say, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
And when a guy is first on the job, where the only thing they know is traffic enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wrote my share of tickets. I won't argue that, but the vast majority, on speed charges, they were never less than 15 miles an hour over the posted limit. And unfortunately, it wasn't until I retired that I realized, I actually started researching common law, the kind of things that, cops are never taught. And that's when I figured, I said, man, and until someone actually harms another person, there's no crime.
Exactly.
And I started to realize that towards the end of things. And I pretty much, unless someone was truly, if they were driving like a maniac and were swerving in and out of traffic and stuff, then they might get stopped. Or if they were drunk drivers, that kind of thing. But general stuff, if there was no victim, that's where, you have to learn to think and realize that just because somebody above you said this is the way it's going to be done, that doesn't make it right.
That's true. And especially once you really start looking into the common law, I mean, you have to start asking questions like, is this guy I'm pulling over actually engaging in trafficking right now? Is he engaging in commerce? Is there, is there something going on here where I maybe need to, take a minute? You know, what really bothers me, and I want to get off the law enforcement thing here, but I find it to be really interesting. And obviously we have a lot of work to do here, but I think there are a lot of good ideas on the table. And I think that we can make the changes that we need as long as we're all prepared as adults to ask the bigger questions. Where is this, you know, what's the causality of the violence that we see around us and how do we fix it? I totally just lost my train of thought. So that happens. Let's move on to longevity, because obviously you're coming out, you're going through this awakening in the law enforcement thing and realizing, wow, things are just not as they seem. And how did you end up transitioning over into, deciding you wanted to change your healthy lifestyle? And how did you come into longevity, sir?
Well, it's funny because, all the time when I was young, like I said, I was always active. I was always riding my bicycle. I worked for one of the first windsurfer dealers east of the Mississippi.
Right.
And I was always doing all kinds of stuff when I was young, and I always, you know, took my health very, very highly. And I see today the problem that I had that, you know, people don't realize, because when you're young, when you're very active, you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel like you're invincible, will ever go wrong. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The fact is, the more active you are, the quicker you are going to start developing health issues. And the the reason for that is, your body requires 90 essential single day to stay healthy, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 to 3. And the other thing is, it's impossible to get those things from the food you eat. The only way to get that in this day and age is to supplement. And most of the time, you know, people will buy vitamins and stuff. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, my dad would bring these things home from work. They were little orange things that looked like an M&M. And that was, you take this every day and you'll be fine. Nothing could be further from the, yeah, and you don't get anything from them. But the biggest issue is, if you're not supplementing while you're exercising, basically it's suicidal. And that's the problem that I found, and that's the problem that's been borne out in all the major, take for example, Jim Fix, the guy that wrote the complete book on running. He specifically, I think it was on page 165 or somewhere in his book, specifically said that you do not need to supplement. You don't need vitamins and minerals. All you have to do is run X number of miles a day and you'll live to be 100.
That can't be true.
Well, he was 52 years old, jogging down the road, a cardiomyopathy heart attack, which is a selenium deficiency.
Okay.
And one of his proteges, the guy that, I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, same thing. The guy had all kinds of world gold medals from running, and he, you know, competed in a whole bunch of marathons, and same thing. Same thing. Keels over from a heart attack.
Wow.
And that kind of thing happens over 100,000 times a year in people under 18 years of age. You hear about the kid that's, you know, the high school athlete, star player, goes up for a layup, comes down deader than a hammer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is a cardiomyopathy heart attack or a ruptured aneurysm. The heart attacks are caused by a selenium deficiency. The aneurysms are caused by a copper deficiency. And it's not just those things, but all 90 essential nutrients. And we see that over and over again. You know, if being physically active was the way to go, then we would see all the time professional athletes living to be 100 and 120 and that kind of stuff. And that doesn't happen. They average about 62 to 68. So they live shorter. 5.5 that the average couch potato lives. The people that don't sweat, that sit there and try to avoid sweating with all the strength that they have, they're the ones that live the longest. The more active you are, the more you sweat, because when you sweat, what's coming out is not just water. That's all the nutrition that your body needs to stay. Placing it, you're going to have your tank run dry sooner, and something's going to go, you know, vapor locking on you. And that's what I saw, is after all those years of being active, my body, after I retired, within a few years, started breaking down. Now, I was in the late 90s, from 96 to 2000, myself and a friend of mine were doing Y2K survival shows all over the country. And one gave me a tape that I didn't get a chance to listen to until I was on the way home. It was called Dead Doctors Don't Lie.
Yeah.
By Dr. Joel Wallach. And it immediately rang true to me. And I said, this guy's making more sense than I have ever heard. And the problem was the guy that gave it to me hadn't put his contact information on it, so I didn't know how to get a hold of him. And I just listened to that tape. I actually, over the years, received a couple more of those things. Same thing. Nobody ever had their contact information. Driving me crazy. Finally, in 2010, I tracked down the company, and I said, sign me up. I want to. And unfortunately, I didn't do it the way I should. It was only a year later, in 2011, that I found Dr. Wallach's radio show by the same title, mm-hmm. started listening to him, and then in 2012, I really got active. And I'll give you a short rundown. By that time, I'd been on Prilosec for over 20 years for gastric reflux that I could not get rid of.
Wow, okay.
My blood pressure was 185. It had been there for 4 or 5 years, and I refused to take medication.
What was it? I'm sorry, Jim. You broke off right there. Okay. What was it?
My blood pressure was 185 over 120. You know, normal is 120 over 80. So
right.
I was sky high.
Right.
My heart was starting to jump around like it was trying out for the Olympic gymnastics team. At least that's how it felt.
Right.
I could take my pulse, and it would just stop beating all of a sudden. And then it would start back up, and it'd go for a while, and then it would just quit. And it'd stop for, five, 10 seconds, and it'd start back up again. It was really scary. And that's what really made me nervous.
That's frightening stuff, yeah.
Yeah, plus all over my back and all over the place. It was so bad I couldn't bend over the sink in the morning to splash water on my face. And I started taking NSAID pain relievers, things like Motrin, Aleve, even aspirin, Tylenol. Mm-hmm. Those things that the commercials on TV allude to, they don't come right out and say it, but they basically allude, if you just take this every day, your pain will be under control.
Just 2 Aleve a day, brother. You're all good. Yeah.
Yeah. But what they don't tell you is those things tend to eat cartilage, especially in your knees.
Really?
So in the process of trying to take the pain away from the arthritis in my back, I destroyed the cartilage in my knees. And by 2012, I was walking with a really bad limp. I used a cane. If I saw a set of stairs, I would go in the other direction.
Right. Okay.
One at a time. And I just had a rash of things that were going haywire. And I started these products on April 22nd of 2012. I will never forget. And within 30 days, my blood pressure went from 185 over 120 to 99 over 77. I stopped taking Prilosec the same day and have had no trouble since. Now, remember that in the past, if I tried everything. I tried charcoal. I tried raw apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. Everything that the natural people would say, I would try that stuff. Within a week, it was like swallowing fire every time I ate or drank anything.
Wow, okay.
And boom, problem was gone. And within 90 days, my knees had been regenerated. All the cartilage was back. I threw the cane away, no more limp. I go up and down stairs, ride my bike, do whatever I want. I haven't quite got to the point where I'm jogging again, but I'm working on it. And it's just somebody lifted my head and drove a new body underneath. It's just amazing. And the key is, you know, we don't treat any illness. We don't treat people for that matter. All we do is the stuff that used to be in our food but isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And when you give the body the raw materials it needs, it fixes itself. And that's all we do. It doesn't make, and there's over 900 chronic health issues. I mean, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, high blood pressure, COPD, just like, you know, the commercials. I feel that the companies that do Spiriva and these other things, they always end up with there's nothing that can reverse COPD. And that is a bold-faced lie. I personally know people who had COPD. They had before and after chest x-rays showing they had it, and some of these products, the stuff went away. All of these issues can be reversed with science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. And that's what we do. We just take the stuff ourselves. We always have great results. And difference, you know, and on top of that, I also lost 70 pounds. I was 240 pounds when I started this thing, and I went to 170. And we've got the only program that once you lose the weight, as long as you stay on these supplements, you're not going to gain it back. Because weight gain is not a disease of excess. It's a disease of nutritional deficiency.
Right. People are eating the high energy food because it's cheap, because everybody's poor these days. And then your body says, I'm not getting any nutrition. I'm going to save everything just in case I never actually see real food again. And that's where this obesity comes from. Is
that
right?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, basically what happens is when your body's nutritionally deficient, when you're not getting those 90 essential nutrients every day, you can go to Olive Garden or some other place and eat 2,000 and 3,000 calories, and 2 hours later, you've got your head in the fridge looking for something.
That's right.
It's not because you didn't get enough calories. It's because you didn't get any nutrition, and all of that stuff you ate, there was no amino acids, no essential fatty acids, and that's what your body needs to function. So it keeps telling you you're hungry. You'll finally put the right stuff in your mouth so that you get to, you know, so it gets what it needs. And when that happens, you know, I'm to the point now where I generally only eat one meal a day. You know, some people, oh my goodness, that's terrible. I can function just fine on 500 to 1,000 calories a day.
Right.
Because my body's properly nutrified. And once that happens, you don't get hungry. I go till 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, and then I just eat something because I know I need some protein, some fats, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I function just fine. I don't gain weight, and I sleep well. Slept a solid night in over 20 years.
Wow.
Now I sleep like a baby.
Right.
And no more getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom 6 or 7 times. You know, I get in bed and I'm out until, you know, either the dog jumps on me or the alarm goes off or something like that. And it's just a whole different world. So I encourage anybody who has any kind of issue, if you go to your doctor and they tell you you're going to have to take this drug for the rest of your life or you're going to need this surgery, don't do it.
Right.
Give us 90 days, and chances are you will not have to worry about it anymore.
And we're going to get ready for this break here, brother, and we're going to have to come back, and I want to chat specifically about what nutrients we're talking about. But I wanted to reiterate, too, how important the nutrient supplemental side is, given the fact that the food quality in the nation has gone so downhill. I mean, let's talk about that for just a quick second, if you would, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Everything has been modified. One of the big problems that we have today is the hybridization process. When a scientist tries to hybridize things, they're always going for one thing and one thing only, and that's increased yield, more tons and bushels per acre.
Right.
And they don't realize trade-off whenever you do that. When you get more yield, you get less of something else. And two of the big things you lose is digestibility and nutrition. And then when you throw in the GMO stuff besides, that further messes everything up, because the GMO, the glyphosate in the GMO corn and all the other things, that basically inhibits the plant from taking up minerals. If there happens to be any minerals in the ground, which is very unlikely, but if there is, the plant can't take those up. And that's how we're supposed to get our minerals, is through the food we eat. So the process that we've been involved in over the years of hybridizing and then now genetically modifying things are producing plants that are totally devoid in food value, not to mention to us in many ways.
But then by adding proper nutrition, you can actually get back to a point where you can work in conjunction, even though the food is lesser quality than it really should be, until we can all get off our butts and start growing our massive, you know, victory gardens and things again. I have to admit, I mean, you're not the first guy to come on the air and say that nutrition to balance out the food that we eat is the most important aspect to health right now. So we're going to come back from this break, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for being with us right now. Jim Ram is our very special guest, and we're talking about nutrition and supplementation. We're going to get into specifics when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, so just keep it right here on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. See you guys in just a second.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Live Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break and for being along for the ride this morning. We're moving into the second segment with our very special guest today, Mr. Jim Ram. I would highly recommend you guys check out his show, also on Truth Frequency Radio, on Thursday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time, which is right before my show. Get you guys all set up for a wonderful day of learning on a Thursday. And before the break, we were kind of talking, oh wait, I want to recommend people also go to yourdiyhealth.com. That is Jim Ram's website, and you can find out more about longevity and get involved with it through that website, yourdiyhealth.com. And since we're on the subject of supplementation and nutrition and all of these wonderful things, trying to figure out exactly how to become more healthy and also help the people around us, I want to bring the subject on to longevity. Obviously, Jim, right now we can't open a newspaper without reading some kind of horror story about supplements. The stuff coming out of Walmart apparently filled with asparagus and maybe some dolphins or whatever, you know, all kinds of garbage and things and like that. So what is it exactly that separates longevity from the rest of the pack in terms of supplemental nutrition, sir?
Okay. Basically, and I'm not just like, I don't know if you remember the old show, The Guns of Will Sonnet. It's no brag, just fact. These products are literally the best on the planet. For years, I tried everything that I saw and advertise on TV, the internet, whatever. I try it and nothing ever worked. This stuff actually gives results. And the reason is, number one, Dr. Wallach has experience that nobody else can even imagine. And he took that experience and basically, I mentioned the 900 diseases in the last segment. Basically, animals and people can both get all those diseases cows and pigs and chicken and sheep can all get high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and all the other things that humans get. And the reason they don't is because we don't have medical insurance for them.
Okay.
And basically if they didn't find a way to cure those things in farm animals, then your hamburger would cost you $475 a pound to cover the health care.
Right.
And, you know, farmers can't afford that. So what they did was through nutritional supplementation, by putting the right stuff in the food that the animals got, they did away with all those diseases. Now, Dr. Wallach, the founder of Youngevity, started out as a veterinarian. He was a very, very large animal veterinarian. He used to work with Marlon Perkins of Mutual Home of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Okay.
He went to Africa and was, you know, working with elephants and white rhinos and all that kind of stuff. And he was involved in a $25 million federally funded study from the late 70s to the early 80s, I believe it was, where he basically proved that there were over 900 diseases that were caused by nutrient deficiency. They cured them all in animals, and he tried to go to the medical community to say, look, you know, if we would just put, you know, give people these supplements, their problems would go away. And of course, the medical community blew him off and said, no, you're crazy, you're a quack. The bottom line was there's no money in something that is natural. So they didn't want anything to do with it. So he went back to school, became a naturopathic physician, and started applying his animal treatments to people. And lo and behold, they got better. And he's been doing that for 40 plus years now, and has been refining these formulas all along the way, and keeps doing so to make them better and better and better. But we have people that regrow livers. We had a guy recently who had been on dialysis 6 days a week for 70 years.
Oh.
And within 2 months, he was off dialysis completely.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Holy
and
cow.
It's, you know, people get off of transplant lists. People get off of dialysis all the time. We've had people who were legally blind with macular degeneration for 10 to 12 years. Usually within 90 days on our supplement program, they're seeing again without glasses.
Wow.
So there are just all kinds of, and it's not that we're treating these illnesses. All we're doing is giving the body the nutrition that it doesn't get anywhere else that it needs to maintain itself. And when you give it what it needs, it will fix itself. The only, you know, you have to make sure that they're taking the right stuff, the right amounts, and they're absorbing it properly. And that, you know, there's always going to be a point of no return, but only God knows when that is. The guys in white coats definitely don't, because they're trained in two things, drugs and surgery. They have virtually no nutritional training whatsoever. Most of the problems that people go to doctors for are nutritionally based. They got high blood pressure. They got type 2 diabetes. And the doctors, all they do is say, okay, you're going to take this drug for the rest of your life. And those drugs lead to other drugs and other problems. And there's certain things, you know, statin drugs, for example, for cholesterol, that no one should ever take a statin drug.
Yes.
Those things are basically, they guarantee if you get on those things, number one, within 5 years, you'll have type 2 diabetes, and also you will get Alzheimer's disease. You know, Alzheimer's is a physician-caused disease that was unknown by any other name 60 years ago.
Right.
And the same time they started poo-pooing cholesterol and telling people that they should not eat eggs and all this other stuff, and then they came out with the low-cholesterol diets and the statin drugs, all of a sudden you see people popping up with Alzheimer's. And, you know, that's what causes it. And it's I can go into the scientific part of it, but it would take too long. But, you know, the bottom line is we stop eating the crap. And there's 10 bad foods that Dr. Wallach has determined that are killing us. And unfortunately, many people have been led to believe that they're good for us. And if you want, I can run down that list real quick. It's also a free PDF download from my website under the support information tab. But basically, wheat, barley, rye, and oats, because of the hybridization process, they have gotten to the point where most people in this country can't digest them properly, and that causes major problems throughout their systems.
That's where we see, like, the gluten intolerance issues and
exactly.
stuff come up. Okay, right.
Yeah, basically, gluten is the protein in those grains, and it's supposed to be broken down from its protein size into amino acids, which are much, much smaller in the stomach. But they, you know, most people can't do that anymore because the things are, number one, they have low stomach acid and all different kinds of problems. And the stuff is just undigestible. And what happens then is those large protein molecules pass into the small intestine where it's supposed to be getting little tiny things. It's basically akin to rolling a bowling ball in some place where a grain of sand is supposed to go.
Ooh, okay.
And it damages the villi in the small intestine, which are the little finger-like projections that actually do the absorbing of the nutrition and put it into the bloodstream. So it damages that, but the good news is once you get off the gluten, the villi will grow back, and then you'll be able to absorb more and more as time goes on. So it's not a death sentence per se, but that's where Crohn's disease, chronic inflammatory bowel disease, diverticulitis,
yes,
all kinds of things. Plus, if someone has a history of eczema, psoriasis, and you see all the ads on TV for all these different drugs, basically that's all caused by gluten intolerance. If they just get off of that stuff and get on the 90, the 90 nutrient supplements, that stuff will go away in no time. Asthma is another big one. That's caused by gluten problems and a lack of essential fatty acids. And that graduates into emphysema and COPD, and all of those things can be reversed if you catch it soon enough with, you know, just getting off the bad stuff and getting on the good stuff.
Hmm.
From there, fried foods. And this is a biggie. And if you look at the entire United States, we have basically everything the same throughout the country, the same health care, the same everything. The only difference is in the upper Midwest, western states, eastern areas, those areas basically cook their foods by roasting, stewing, broiling, that kind of thing. Down south, they everything, which is, you know, even the water, basically. And when that happens, when you superheat things, superheat the oils, that produces trans fats, heterocyclic amines, and acrylamides that are the most egregious toxic things that you could put in your body.
Hmm.
And that causes cancer and inflammation. So the fried foods, and you'll add 10 to 20 years to your life simply by doing that. Just don't even get downwind from it. I don't even go into a McDonald's anymore because the first thing you smell when you go in there is the frying oil.
Yep.
It's in the air. You're breathing it in, and that will give you cancer in the long run.
Just breathing in the oil? Are you serious?
Just breathing that stuff in can cause cancer.
Oh my goodness.
So I avoid those places.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about some specifics with the supplements because obviously I've gone through the longevity catalog. You know, I'm kind of new to the longevity scene and my learning curve is still coming up. A lot of products. I mean, there are a lot of things to choose from. If you were a newbie here, where would you start? What would you recommend? You know,
that's a problem. I have a lot of people calling and asking for catalogs. I actually recommend that they don't get a catalog because they're just going to end
it's
up confused.
Yeah.
There's over 1,000 different products in our line now, and in the supplemental stuff, you're probably still looking at 300 to 500. And unless you have an idea what's going on and how you match products to conditions, it's a real tough thing to do. What I recommend is, you know, you can call we've got a toll free number, 855-80-YOUNG, 855-80-YOUNG. And, we have experienced people manning the phones that if someone has a health condition, we have people there that can actually match them with the right products. But the bottom line, the best thing to start with is a thing called the Healthy Start Pack. It's our core group of products that provides all 90 essential nutrients in optimal amounts for a 30-day program. And basically when someone gets that, they automatically get all the stuff that their body needs. Now we have other things called, we refer to them as secret sauces. For like if you have joint connective tissue, bone problems, there's a secret sauce for that called glucogel. It's all the stuff, the proper materials that the body needs to promote and support healthy maintenance and construction and repair of bones and joints and connective tissue.
So that's what I need for my knee and my sciatica.
Right,
then. Okay,
exactly.
Roger that.
I had sciatica, and within 30 to 60 days, it was gone.
Oh, man, that sounds like a miracle come true, man. Listeners, I don't know if you guys know about how bad the sciatica is, but it is the worst pain ever in the history of the world, man.
Yeah. I'd be out in my barn carrying a bucket of water, and all of a sudden, that'd kick in, and my leg would just buckle.
Yeah.
And I'd be on my knees. Mm-hmm. But, we have stuff that deals with that. Type 2 diabetes, we have a product called Sweeties that's when it's added on top of the Healthy Start Pack. We can take an insulin-dependent type 2 diabetic, and usually in less than 90 days, they're a former diabetic. Their blood sugar is back to normal. They're processing glucose again the way they're supposed to.
Right.
And we have all different kinds of things to deal with that. The best thing to do is to find someone who has experience with the products and the knowledge to say, okay, this is what you got. This is the right stuff to take. And we always recommend at least a 90-day protocol. We say, mm-hmm. give it 90 days because healing is a destination. It's not a process. You know, it's the other way around. It's a process, not a destination. You know, too many people have the microwave mentality. We take a pill and all of a sudden the symptom's gone.
That's right.
And that's easy because all the pill is doing is it's poisoning part of the body that's giving the symptom and the pain. Mm-hmm. Where you didn't get this way overnight. You're not going to get rid of it overnight either. It takes the body time to get the nutrition and to send it to where it needs to go to regenerate tissue, to do what it needs to do in order to get rid of the problem. But the results are permanent, basically. As long as you stay on the supplements, you're going to have what you need and you're not going to have the problem come back. Well,
and why would you not want to? I mean, one of the old adages also is that you're either going to pay for it now with supplements and good quality food, or you're going to pay for it later at the hospital. So you have
That's
to make
exactly
that choice. And
right.
I'll tell you what, hospitals are not a very nice place to visit and certainly not a nice yeah. place to be if you can't leave. That's not the way I want to end up. I want to be, like a superhuman. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm trying to get to optimal. If it's okay with you, Jim, I want to hop over to the phone lines. I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines just in case anybody has questions that are a little bit more specific. Again, we're not giving medical advice here on the program. This is, of course, just for your education and entertainment only. But if you do have specific questions, perhaps Jim might be able to answer them. And I do have a phone call on the line, and it looks like my very favorite person, Fran in North Carolina. So I'm going to go to Fran right now. Fran in North Carolina, you are on with Jim Ram. What is your question or comment, please?
Well, hey, fellas. Now I'm having a couple shades of blush go across my face when you said that. coming in. Thanks, I needed that.
Well, sure.
Anyway, with the aspect of what is called genetic modification of the food stock, whether it be vegetable, fruit, or animal stock for that matter, what is Jim's view upon listening to what I'm hearing at the present moment? What is his view regarding organics, and how does that relate into longevity and so forth, or at all, considering whether or not it's legitimate organics that can be adulterated in the packaging of the food item?
Okay, Fran, that is a great question. A lot of people mistakenly think that just because they're eating organic, they're getting what they need. Organic doesn't give you more of the good stuff. It just gives you less of the bad. So you're not, you know, if organic vegetables, for the sake of the argument, they're grown in the same soil that inorganic or the regular vegetables are grown in. And the soil has been depleted of all the minerals that we need for the last 100 years. The only thing farmers put back in is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which is the three things that the plants need to at least do well and produce a good yield.
Right.
But you are not getting any of the minerals that you normally would get if it was in the soil. So the only thing you're not getting by eating organic is you're not getting the pesticides, you're not getting the chemical processing stuff and all of that. So that's a good thing. I'm not saying organic is bad. I'm just saying don't mistakenly think that because you're eating organic, you're doing everything you need to do. All you're doing is you're lessening the chance of getting garbage into your body. Organic is good.
I would
you
add to that,
you still need the supplement, though.
There's still an organization out there that's responsible for making sure your food is organic, so you have to also put into consideration how much you actually trust that organization
That's
to be
right.
doing what they're doing, given all the other organizations that are less than trustworthy right now.
Yeah, the FDA and I don't know who else sets the standards for organic. And, you know, if the people actually go by the standards and are certified, then you're getting a decent product. But, again, there's no way to guarantee that what you're getting is truly organic and that there's not some cross-pollination. Because, you know, now that the GMO genie is out of the bottle, if there's a farmer down the street that's got GMO corn, it's almost impossible to guarantee that the corn that you grow in your own backyard garden is not going to have the influence of the GMO, you know, just because of the bees carrying pollen and stuff and like that back and forth. So, you know, it's a very tough thing to do, but always, you know, it's better to do organic rather than the standard stuff you get, but you have to realize that you still need to supplement. That's the bottom line.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
the other The other association that is also along with USDA, which I do not trust implicitly for that matter, would be what's called Quality Assurance International, which is also supposed to be dealing with the certification of that.
Yeah, the international agencies are almost as bad, if not worse, in many times than the national ones, because they're all headed up by the same people that are trying to control the population, I think. You never know what you're getting with those people.
That's right.
Ideally, they set standards that make sense. It's just whether or not the people have actually complied with them.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okey-doke.
That's what makes it tough. Now, on the other hand, one of the things that we have to realize too is just about everybody is in a state of chronic nutritional deficiency. That means your body's not going to function the way it should. And the best part of these supplements is when you get on them, your body will then start to function at peak levels. You'll have an immune system that can fight off things. You'll have a system that will get rid of the heavy metals that are in your body. Basically, you may have heard of chelation. It's a process of using chemicals that go into your bloodstream and take out the heavy metals. We have a naturopathic doctor, Dr. Peter Glidden, who was one of the first naturopaths ever to use chelation. He says it's a great thing. But when he got involved with the longevity products, he saw very quickly that it was totally unnecessary unless you had to do it in a big hurry. Because when you get on these products, your body will then automatically get rid of the bad stuff because it's now able to do so. It's a finely tuned machine that starts working the way it's supposed to once it has the raw materials it needs. So this is the core foundation of everything health-wise. And when you have these things in your system, then everything else works the way it's supposed to.
Well, true, because the body's going to take in what it needs to function, and when there isn't, it's like your body basically sends a signal saying, hey, there's a problem here. You need to straighten it out now before something else happens.
Right. And on top of that, you know, all the studies that says once this is in your body, you can't get rid of it. They're all working from a weak point to start with. Number one, the bodies that they're dealing with are nutritionally deficient. So they can only say if you've got a nutritionally deficient body, when all this stuff gets in it, you can't get it out. They don't know what happens when you have a body that's properly nutrified and functioning the way it's supposed to. They can't, because they've never dealt with those kind of people. So it's a whole different story. Well, it's like comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, that's true, because once the body has what it needs to clean itself out, it's designed to do it,
exactly.
To kick out all that garbage.
You know, God didn't make no junk. Just man followed it up.
That's right. Fran, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the phone call today, young lady, and you hold down the fort out there in North Carolina, okay?
Oh, boy. Have fun.
My show will listen tomorrow, Fran. I'll be on at 9 a.m. Eastern. We could have some more time there.
Oh, boy. Watch out.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing there, Jim. Watch out. She's a pistol, Fran. We love Fran. She calls in very often and has always got great points to raise. So
appreciate
that. Since we're talking about, we've kind of covered the nutrition aspect and just all of the benefits and understanding as well that we need to try and recover from some of the diets that we, you know, a lot of people think they're probably eating pretty good food. You know, you go to the grocery store and you get the healthy choice entree instead of the banquet food. You're still in a pickle, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to talk a little bit. I wonder if you would give out that phone number one more time, and let's talk about it for just a few minutes from the aspect of building a business. There's a whole other angle to this whole longevity thing I'd like to touch on if we can.
Yeah, the phone number is 855-80-YOUNG. That's 855-809-6864, I believe is what it comes down to. I forgot to put the thing up on my screen so I could remember it.
I believe that is the correct number, yes.
Yeah, 855-80-YOUNG. And basically that rings to several of our people in my organization that are experienced with the products and can help, you know, guide someone on based on their personal situation. Now, from the business standpoint, Dr. Wallach, when he first developed this product line, could have marketed it virtually any way he wanted. He could have put it in stores. He could have put it like on infomercials on TV. But he chose to use the network marketing model, and the reason behind that, I think, is word of mouth. You know, everybody is a network marketer, whether they know it or not. If they go to a movie and they like it, they tell their friends, the people go. If they have a restaurant they like, they tell their friends, and the people go to it. The big difference is when you do that, you don't get a kickback from the restaurant or the movie theater. when you become a distributor in longevity, you basically start using products that change your health around, and you become what we call a product of the products. Mm-hmm. And once you have a history and a testimony of what these things have done for you, that's the absolute best thing that you can tell someone else. You know, I have people coming to me that saw me a couple years ago and then didn't see me again until recently, and they said, man, you've lost weight. You look like you're 10 years younger.
I mean, seriously, the before and after gym is pretty impressive. Are you down in, what, a 34 pants now?
Yep.
That's insane, brother.
I was in a 38 pushing. I really needed to go to 40s.
Right.
And I'm in a 34 now, and there's plenty of room to grow, and I'm not planning on it. But, it's amazing how this stuff works. And when you have that experience, then people will start asking you about it. And some, you know, I'll be honest, you know, some people say great, you know, but they won't do anything. You know, people are different. Everybody's got their own thing. And the thing is they may not be into it right now, but I've had people that I gave cards to and gave them information a year ago that now are calling me back saying, hey, I want to get started on this stuff.
Right.
I've got this problem or that problem. And when, you know, everybody's different, but this business has the two things that everybody needs, better health and better wealth. And Dr. Wallach says, if you're willing to be a part of our army, help him to spread the word, that he will pay you obscene amounts of money. And he's not kidding.
Right.
I mean, if you spend a little bit of time and effort, the results are, number one, they're great and they're long lasting, because we have people in this business that still don't know how much money they made the first year, 20 years later, because they are still making money from initial contacts they made 20 years ago. Those people, when most people get on the products, if they do it the way you tell them, they will experience such great results that they never, ever want to get off of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that get on 20 years ago are still buying today, so they still are making money on that first work they did 20 years ago. So, you know, I have people all over the world right now. I got people in Egypt, South Korea, Ecuador, just about every state in the union, and they're working when I'm not. So, you know, how many times, you know, you have to be at the job, and you know, so many people just don't have the time in the day to do other things, where now I've got an organization built that is now working when I'm not. So if I go on vacation, I'm still making money.
Right.
And that's a wonderful feeling. And another thing is, you can will this to your family, friends and family. That's a beautiful thing. If you got a really good paying job, something happens to you, you can't will that to your next of kin.
Right.
I mean, that's the end of it. But with this job, with this thing, you can build a business and you could sell it and you can will it, and it just moves right on to the next person.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of advantages, plus the tax advantages that you don't have as an employee rather than a business owner. That's another thing. And given that today's April Fool's, tax day, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of people think about this time of year.
That's right.
So, you know, that's how it's done, but it's basically word of mouth. It's using the products and showing other people how to do the same thing. It's nothing scary. It's nothing, you know, major. You don't have to go door to door with your little Acme vitamin kit and
right.
knocking on, you know, bugging people. You know, I basically, when I see folks, if they're suffering with some kind of an illness or something, I say, you know, I know a doctor who says you don't have to suffer with that. And if I give you this or lend you this CD to listen to, will you listen to it? And if they say yes, I say, great. When I need to get it back in a day or two, because it's very valuable to me. And that's what I do. And then, if they're not interested, great, fine. Have a nice life. You know, I got no problem. You don't need any specific person. You just need people. And there's plenty of folks in this day and age that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're tired of being used as an ATM machine by the big pharma and the AMA, and they're ready for something different. And I constantly am talking to people who, my goodness, I can't believe they'll hear Dr. Wallach on a show somewhere, or they'll hear my show, or whatever the case might be. And I say, I have been looking for something like this. There's people that went to bed last night praying that someone would come into their life and show them how they can be healthy again. And we've got the answer.
There you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You have the 800 number. You also have your DIYhealth.com. Please check those things out, and definitely check out Jim's show on Thursday mornings from 9 to 11. Jim, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
My pleasure, JD. It's been great to be here.
It has been absolutely wonderful. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you took something away from that. And if you want...
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.